Today we are very fortunate to have very blessed Sri Vilasini Mataji. Mataji, we speak on Sri Amriya Bhagavatamrita. Mataji, please. Hare Krishna, we are very fortunate. Today's class is given by Her Grace Priti Vilasini Mataji. The topic is Sri Priyad Bhagavatamrita. Mataji, please take over this call. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Anjana Gopika Mataji. Thanks to everyone on the call for joining. So today we are continuing to read from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So we'll start off with the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are continuing with our session on the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and today is session 2. So in our previous session, we saw the introduction to Brihad Bhagavatamrita about the book itself, its contents, the mood with which one approaches this work, and about the greatness of the author, Sanatan Goswami. So we also saw about the disciplic succession of this particular work, the way in which the contents of the book was received. So today we will be getting into the book as such. We will be getting into the story of Narada's spiritual quest of finding the greatest recipient of Lord's mercy. So today we will get into chapter 1 of the first part of the book, which is titled Bhauma or Earthly. Om Agnyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanatha Swaminiti Namine Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschaitari Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in the beginning of this work, in the first few verses of this book, Sanatan Goswami, he offers his Mangalacharan prayers. So he offers his obeisances to the Supreme Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Goddess Mathura Devi, Vrajabhumi, Yamuna Devi, Giriraj Govardhan. Okay, we have Giriraj Puja today. So he offers his prayers to Giriraj Govardhan, Bhakti Devi, Harinama Prabhu. So first, Sanatan Goswami, he begins his work by offering prayers to all these personalities. So basically, Mangalacharan is a set of prayers to invoke auspiciousness, and it is actually worth diving into the Mangalacharan prayers of Sanatan Goswami. It is so loaded with sweetness, the way Sanatan Goswami offers prayers. So first we'll join Sanatan Goswami in his Mangalacharan, and then we'll get into the story of the first part of the book. So first of all, Sanatan Goswami, he offers his prayers to Krishna. He says, the purpose of this book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, is actually to explain bhakti or pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So he offers prayers to Krishna, who himself is actually the bestower of bhakti. So the devotion explained in this work, it solely focuses on the lotus feet of the eternally youthful Lord Krishna, who is the master of all the gopis of Vrindavan. And this Krishna, who is the master of the gopis of Vrindavan, he descends from time to time to give pleasure to all his devotees. So not only that, the pinnacle of Krishna Leela is when he descended himself as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to freely give this precious gift of Prema Bhakti to everybody in the mode of Srimati Radharani. So first he offers his prayer to the eternally beautiful lotus feet of Krishna, who is the master of the gopis of Vrindavan. Then Sanatan Goswami goes ahead and he offers his obeisances to the gopis of Vrindavan, because they are the best of the devotees. So the gopis of the Vrindavan is headed by Srimati Radhika. No one can achieve the favor of the Supreme Lord without pleasing his dearmost devotees, who are the gopis of Vrindavan, who is headed by Srimati Radharani. So we should understand, Krishna may lose interest in his other devotees, but he will never lose interest in the gopis of Vrindavan. This is what Sanatan Goswami is saying. Say, if he's so indebted to the gopis of Vrindavan, he cannot leave the company of the gopis of Vrindavan even for a minute. In fact, the Lord himself declares in the Srimad Bhagavatam that he is simply unable to repay his debt for the spotless service, his debt for the spotless service that the gopis have rendered. You know, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very beautiful verse, Canto 10, Chapter 32, Verse 22. So there Krishna declares, he has no words to describe the intimate love that the gopis feel for Krishna, and he feels very indebted to them. He doesn't know how to repay them. So one aspires to take shelter of the gopis to actually attain Krishna's mercy. Then Sanatan Goswami, he offers respects to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the Lord himself, Lord Krishna, he himself descended as Lord Chaitanya. Why? To realize the ecstasy of the gopis. So Sanatan Goswami, he offers his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, who reveals these inaccessible secrets of Prema Bhakti to everybody. In fact, when Sanatan Goswami was offering his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his pastimes when Sanatan Goswami was writing this book, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So we can see how connected Sanatan Goswami felt when he was offering these prayers, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much present in his performing his pastimes when Sanatan Goswami was actually putting down this book. Then he offers his respects to Mathura Devi, the personification of the Dham of Mathura. So what is so special about Mathura Devi? Krishna has very great affection to the land of Mathura. Devi means actually ruling goddess. But Devi also means one who is perpetually effulgent. So I think even in yesterday's class, when we were listening about the Damodar Ashtakam, where there is this verse that says about Varam Deva, you know, it talks about Deva. And Prabhu was explaining that Deva means one who is effulgent. So that is one of the meanings of Deva. So Mathura Devi, she's called as Devi because of her eternal association with Krishna. Because she is so eternally associated with Krishna, she is always brilliant, she is always effulgent. And in fact, she is so glorious that she is one of the best of the seven principal holy cities, which is Kashi, Kanchi, Avanti, Mathura, Ayodhya, and Maya or Haridwar. So among these seven principal holy cities, actually Mathura is the best. Even Dwaraka is also the seventh. Sorry, I missed Dwaraka. So it's Kashi, Kanchi, Avanti, Mathura, Ayodhya, Maya, and Dwaraka. So all these seven places can actually award liberation to a person. This is mentioned in the Kashi Kanda of Skanda Purana 668, Sanatana Goswami quotes. So, but however, Mathura is very, very special. She is the greatest because Lord Hari is eternally present in Mathura, and this is declared in Bhagavatam 10.128. She, Mathura Devi, grants liberation and she bestows pure devotion, dispelling all misfortune. So that is the glory of Mathura Devi. So after Sanatana Goswami finishes offering obeisances to Mathura Devi, he offers obeisances to the most important place, which is more important than the actual Mathura, which is Lord Murari's Vrindavan forest, Vrajabhumi. So Vrajabhumi is in fact the most sacred area in the Mathura district. So Vraja is actually a part of Mathura district, but this Vrajabhumi is actually the most sacred places. So Sanatana Goswami, when he offers his obeisances to Vrajabhumi, he says, Jayati Jayati Vrindaranya Metan Murari. He's saying Jayati Jayati twice. All glories, all glories. So till now he said all glories to Mathura, he said all glories to Krishna, he said all glories to Vrindavan. But he got ecstatic when he started offering his obeisances to to the land of Vrindavan. He said, Jayati Jayati Vrindavana Metan Murari. All glories to Lord Murari's Vrindavan forest. So we can see how Sanatana Goswami, he actually stresses the importance of this place twice. So when something is very, very important, it is generally stressed and repeated again and again. And Sanatana Goswami, he was living in Vrindavan when he was writing this book. So neither Vaikuntha nor the hearts of the yogis are such ecstatic pastimes of the Lord's scene. So Krishna continues to perform pastimes in the Aprakata Leela in Vrindavan even now, even today. So even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the ladies of Mathura, when Krishna went from Vrindavan to Mathura, the ladies there, they declared in present tense. They didn't say, see, Krishna, after he finished his Vrindavan Leela, he actually went on to Mathura, he killed Kamsa, and there were a lot of pastimes there, and then he went to Dwaraka. We know Krishna Leela like that. But when Krishna went to Mathura, and Dwaraka, that time the ladies of Mathura, they were saying that Krishna is performing his pastimes in Vrindavan. So that means even at that time they were saying it in present tense. So they say, how pious are these tracks of Vraja, because the Supreme Lord is enacting his pastimes wandering about here and there in this land of Vrajabhumi. This comes in Canto 10, Chapter 44, 13. So he says, in that land of Vraja, Krishna is tending his cows and he gives pleasure to all the gopis by dancing with them. He plays on his flute, he calls out to the cows, and he increases the ecstasy of the gopis. So the Mathuravasis, they were saying all this in present tense. That means what? Krishna is actually continuing to present pastimes, especially in Vrindavan all the time. He's eternally performing pastimes there. So even now, the great Goswamis or the great liberated personalities, they're able to enter into the Aprakata Leela, they see Krishna is actually performing pastimes there. So that's why Vrindavan is so special. It is so special. In fact, just to give this pleasure to the gopis in Vrindavan, actually, that is the ultimate reason of Krishna's appearance. We know so many reasons why Krishna appears in this world. But the ultimate reason is to give pleasure to the Brajavasis, to give pleasure to the gopis of Vrindavan. So after he offers his obeisances to Lord Murari's Vrindavan forest, then he offers obeisances to Yamuna Devi. So we know Vrindavan is very auspicious and Yamuna Devi is also very, very auspicious. Sanatana Goswami, he says, Jayati Tarani Putri Dharmaraja Swasaya. That means, all glories to the daughter of the sun god. So when we say Tarani, that means it's sun. When we say Dharani, it is earth. So here, Sanatan Goswami, he offers obeisances to the daughter of the sun god, and she is also the sister of Yamaraj. Dharmaraja Vasaya. She is the sister of Yamaraj. So therefore, we understand that her name is Yamuna. Yamuna means Yama Anuja. Anuja means younger sibling, right? So just like how we have Balaram Anuja or Gadagraja. See, when we say Balaram Anuja or Rama Anuja, when we say Balaram Anuja, it is Krishna. When we say Rama Anuja, it is Lakshmana. But this is for younger sibling. When we talk about older sibling, sometimes Krishna is referred as Gadagraja. Agraja. Agraja is the term used for older sibling. In the letter that Rukmini wrote to Krishna, in one of the verses, she calls him as Gadagraja. That means the elder brother of Gada. So Gada is also one of the brothers of Krishna. So he is referred as Gadagraja in that. Like that you will see, even Ramanujacharya, he was referred as Godagraja. Goda is Andal, so one of the Alvars. So very lovingly, he had some very loving reciprocations with Andal, and hence he's called as Godagraja, like that. So here, Yamuna is actually Yamuna. She's the younger sister of Yama. And Sanatan Goswami says that like her father Vivaswan, who is the sun god, she actually illuminates the entire world. And like her brother Yamaraj, she gives perfect justice. She in fact destroys the sins of people who take bath in her waters. And he describes her as the real ornament of Vrindavan Dham. The most beautiful ornament of Vrindavan Dham is actually Yamuna. In fact, Yamuna, she transcends the sanctity of even Ganga. Ganga is considered as one of the holiest rivers we have known. But Yamuna is actually holier than Ganga. That's what devotees say. She is considered 100 times more sacred than Ganga. In fact, not only the devotees say that, it is also confirmed in Varaha Purana. Sanatan Goswami says, he says, Varahadev himself has said this with his own lotus mouth when he was talking to his consort, Bhumi Devi. So Varahadev says, 100 times more sacred than Ganga, O Goddess Earth, he's talking to his wife, to his consort, Goddess Earth. So he says, 100 times more sacred than Ganga is actually Yamuna. In my own abode known as Mathura. No one need doubt this. More sacred than Mathura by 100 times is a place where the Keshi demon fell. And 100 times more sacred than Keshi is Keshi Tirtha, a spot where Krishna rested after killing the demon. So Keshi Tirtha is considered very important, and the spot, the Keshi Ghat, I mean, the Keshi Ghat where Krishna rested is considered very, very special. So Yamuna, she assists in all of the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna goes and sports in the Yamuna, and he carries, this Yamuna, she carries the nectar of the intimate Krishna Prema to everybody. And this intimate Krishna Prema actually tastes like honey, and it nourishes everyone spiritually. That's why Yamuna is more sacred than Ganga, because Krishna himself goes and takes bath there, and her waters, they actually carry this intimate nectar of Krishna Prema that is nourishing all the devotees. So that's why Yamuna is considered so special. Then Sanatan Goswami talks about the glories of Haridasavarya. So who is that? That is our dear Giriraj Govardhan. So we are celebrating Govardhan Puja today, and Sanatan Goswami, he offers his obeisances to Haridasavarya, the best of all the Haridas. Actually, there are three devotees who are called as Haridas. One is Yudhishthir Maharaj, the other one is Uddhava, and then the third one is Govardhan. But Govardhan is Haridasavarya. He's the best of the Haridas. So today, Govardhan, he looks like a long, low hill, and you know, when we look at him, we don't think, oh, this is the greatest of all the hills or of all the mountains. But actually, his glories, they extend the glories of Himalayas and even Mount Meru. Why? Because Govardhan, it personally supplies all the necessities for Krishna and his associates. He supplies very fresh grass. He gives nice caves for the gopas to rest. He provides with good fruits and flowers, and he gives fresh water. So, in fact, Giriraj, he becomes so jubilant when Krishna walks on him. Sometimes we see in some places the Govardhan itself melts down. The rocks and Govardhan, they melt when Krishna walks on him. Today morning we heard this pastime of how when Indra flooded Vraj with rain, Krishna held the Govardhan in his little finger. So, a very, very personal relationship. Very lovingly, he carried Giriraj Govardhan. So therefore, Govardhan exceeds the greatness of even the king of heaven. We saw that past time today, how Govardhan conquered Indra actually. Of course, Krishna also conquered Indra, but Govardhan was actually conquering Indra in his pastimes when Krishna lifted Govardhan. So then, Sanatan Goswami, he glorifies Bhakti Devi and he begs for her favor. So, even with a partial practice of devotional service, liberation can be attained. However, without any contact with devotional service, no other effort can actually earn liberation. So we may try so many methods, but if we do not have the touch of devotional service, nothing will work out. But an imperfect, a partial practice of devotional service can offer liberation. So therefore, it makes one to put aside all austerities and rituals and social duties and take up devotional service, because devotional service is the topmost thing. It can avoid liberation. And for Sanatan Goswami personally, everything is devotional service. So, and after he begs a favor from Bhakti Devi, he also offers his obeisances and he talks about the glories of the holy names of Lord Murari. So the holy name itself grants liberation. It makes one again put aside everything else and just chant the holy names. For Sanatan Goswami, again, holy name is everything. Harinam is everything. It is even greater than mukti, greater than the bliss that is there in Vaikuntha. And for Sanatan Goswami, it's his very life and ornament, and it is a limitless reservoir of all auspiciousness and the entire focus of Sanatan Goswami's attention. So Sanatan Goswami glorifies Bhakti Devi and then he glorifies Harinam Prabhu, the holy names of Krishna. So like this, after offering his Mangalacharan to all these great personalities, to conclude his Mangalacharan, Sanatan Goswami, he offers respectful obeisances to his worshipable deity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is his very first spiritual master, the very first spiritual master of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So, yes, he already glorified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the third verse of the Mangalacharan, but then he comes back to Lord Chaitanya. Sanatan Goswami, again, to conclude his Mangalacharan, he offers his respects again to his worshipable deity, Sri Sanatan Goswami, who is the very first spiritual master of our entire Gaudiya Sampradaya. And very few people actually know what rasa is. And among all the rasa that is there, the rasa that is available at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most precious. It is very, very rare to obtain. But he is so magnanimous that he is freely distributing it. So Sanatan Goswami, he wrote this work under the guidance of Chaitanya Deva. Here Chaitanya Deva can also mean the Lord of the Consciousness, the Super Soul, who is Sri Vasudev. Vasudev is actually the Super Soul. So it is not a speculation or a fiction. He says it is coming from the Lord, inspired by the Super Soul. And not only does he acknowledge Sri Chaitanya Deva again, he also acknowledges his dear brother, Rupa Goswami, who helped him find his way on the path of Prema Bhakti. We know Rupa Goswami was a constant companion of Sri Sanatan Goswami. So he thanks Rupa Goswami for being a constant companion on his way to find the path of Prema Bhakti. So after offering all his obeisances to all these glorious personalities, he begins his work. He says, O Vaishnavas, all of you, please hear this confidential scripture. This is not an entertainment story. This is only for Vaishnavas who have faith in the highest principles of spiritual life. It is Amrita. It is the Amrita of all the revealed texts about devotion to the Supreme Lord. And this text was previously recited by Jaimini to Janamejaya. And both of them, they had this conversation in an enthusiasm of pure love. So we must see a little bit about them also. The question is that we have always known Jaimini to be not to be a great Rasika devotee. We have not seen him in that light. We have never seen Jaimini being glorified as a Rasika devotee. So how is Jaimini talking about these confidential secrets? But however, Sanatan Goswami, he clarifies this for us. He says, in Bhagavad Gita 10.22, Krishna, he affirms that say Jaimini's reputation as a great devotee by saying, Vedanam Samavedosmi. So, Jaimini, we know that he became the first teacher of Samaveda under the authority of Srila Vyasadeva. So, when Vyasadeva gave the four divisions of the Vedas to four different heads, he chose Jaimini for Samaveda. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is saying that among the Vedas, I am Samaveda, which means Vyasa understands that Jaimini actually knows the purport of the Samaveda, which is ultimately devotional service to the Lord. So Jaimini's teachings strongly revolve around emphasizing sacrificial duties. We know that, okay? He's not a very Rasika devotee. We know that most of his teachings strongly revolve around emphasizing sacrificial duties. But he does that. He does that. Yes, he does that to help the materialistic brahmanas to gradually prepare themselves to a higher devotional understanding of the Vedas, Upanishads, and the Vedanta Sutras. Not only this, Sanatana Goswami also talks about another aspect of Jaimini. He says, we all know Jaimini, actually he is an expert devotee. Why? Because he is given the description of the glories of Lord Jagannath. He is the one who gave the description of the glories of Lord Jagannath. In the Skanda Purana, there is a huge chapter that is entitled Sri Purushottama Kshetra Mahatmyam. So in that chapter, Jaimini is the main speaker. And he states that anyone who simply has a desire to visit this holy place, Jagannath Puri, will become free from all his past sinful karmas. What to speak of people who actually go and visit that place. So like that, Jaimini has put forth a huge chapter about the glories of Lord Jagannath. So Jaimini is actually aware of the intimate secrets of spiritual love and about Krishna. Now, who was the recipient from Jaimini? It was Janamejaya who heard this, right? Janamejaya, he was the son of Parikshit. He was also, like his father, very fond of hearing the pastimes of the Lord and the pastimes of the Vaishnava. So Jaimini picked Janamejaya, and Jaimini spoke this confidential topics of Brihad Bhagavatamrita to Janamejaya. Just like how we discussed this in the previous class, just like how Harivamsa is the supplement of Vaishampayana's Mahabharata, similarly, Jaimini Mahabharata supplement is the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So when Vaishampayana said, we know that the Mahabharata that we have received, we know is that of Vaishampayana reciting to Janamejaya. But in fact, Vaishampayana himself in his Mahabharata admits that there are other versions of the Mahabharata. There is also the Mahabharata version of Jaimini. Jaimini spoke a Mahabharata to Janamejaya, and Janamejaya kind of preferred the second narration of the Mahabharata by Jaimini because it revealed more transcendental tastes of loving service to Krishna. While the other version that we are all aware of, given by Vaishampayana, was for a wide audience. And the glories of Krishna was mostly hidden. It was there, but it was not so highlighted because it was mostly about the Pandavas, it was about Draupadi, it was about so many people. Krishna's glories were mostly hidden. But when Janamejaya heard from Jaimini, he saw that Krishna's pastimes were actually the focus of that Mahabharata. So Janamejaya, he requested Jaimini when he was reciting his Mahabharata to end his narration with a sweet note. You know, so when, you know, we all like, right, when we're eating a nice meal, we like to end it with a sweet. Similarly, when we see in those days, you know, those traditional movies they used to make, they used to always end it with Shubham. That is how movies used to end. And even novels or even children books like fairy tales, they end with they lived happily ever after, right? So that's a nice way of ending a novel or a book or anything like that, okay? But here, Janamejaya is actually hearing this great signs of devotional service. He's hearing Mahabharata from Jaimini, and he requests Jaimini, oh, this is such a great, this is so great. But please end this narration with something that is very, very, very sweet. Madhurena samapayet, he asks. So at that time, Janamejaya requests Jaimini to speak the essential nectar of Krishna's pastime. At that time, to end the Mahabharata narration as an appendix, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita was spoken. Just like how we end a meal with a sweet. Okay? So, Srila Sanatana Goswami is a transcendental genius, an eternal resident of Goloka Vrindavan, an intimate companion of Srimati Radharani. And in fact, Srimati Radharani is the internal potency of the Lord. So imagine an intimate companion of the internal potency of the Lord. That is his position. So he could perceive the past, present, future, and even scriptures of the previous ages. And hence we can understand that if we listen to this subject matter with faith, we can understand a lot more about pure devotional service. So we saw the greatness of Janamejaya, we saw the greatness of Jaimini, and we saw the greatness of Sanatana Goswami. But however, who was the original speaker? So think about the previous class. We were talking about how Parikshit spoke this to Uttara, right? And then Janamejaya spoke it to Jaimini. Then Sanatana Goswami is putting it down in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by the inspiration of Chaitanya Deva in his heart. Right? So this is, and of course, by the order of Lord Madan Mohan. So this is how we are receiving this book. Now we have to see a little bit about Parikshit and Uttara. Their glories are also important, right? So let's see a little bit about that. Who is the original speaker? Parikshit, right? Parikshit, what happened to him? He finished hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadev, and all his fear was dispelled and his heart was filled with transcendental love for Krishna. So while he was alone and he was getting ready to give up his body, and at that time, the great surrendered devotee Uttara, who is also his mother and the daughter of Virata, she came there to see her son. So this is very interesting. Just look at her name. It is Uttara. The name itself suggests that she was very, very great. Uttara means someone who's really great. Why is she so great? She bore in her womb not only the greatest devotee Parikshit, who had perfected the process of Shravanam, hearing the topics concerning the Lord's pastimes, but she also briefly bore the Lord himself in her womb. So when the Lord entered her womb to protect Parikshit, she simultaneously had the Lord and his dear devotee nearby in her womb. So by this one can understand what a great personality she herself was and how surrendered she was to the Lord. So she came to her son in a very sorrowful mood. And yes, she was very, very sad because her dear son was about to give up his body. In fact, what more bigger grief can be there for a person than the loss of his own child, loss of her own child? But still, her eagerness to know the confidential essence of what Shukadev had spoken about the Lord actually eclipsed her grief. That's so beautiful. It just eclipsed the grief that she had. So she requested her son to give the essence of what he had heard from Shuka, just like how one churns nectar from the ocean of milk. And Uttara, she did not have 7 days to hear the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So she requested her son to condense it, bring out the essence of the essence of the essence for the remaining short time. So at this point, one may argue, Parikshit could have just spoken one chapter from the 10th canto that talks about the confidential pastimes of Krishna. But then that would have been inappropriate because one has to undergo the initial cleansing of one's heart by hearing the first 9 cantos to prepare oneself to hear the high topics of the 10th canto, especially the 5 important chapters. So Parikshit was given this task of using his discrimination to deliver the essence. So he was given this task, use your discrimination and just give the essence. Just like how a farmer, he takes several canes of sugar cane to extract the juice. Similarly, Parikshit had to extract the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam like that. So Parikshit, at this time, he was about to give up his body. So he told his mother, at this time, actually, when one is about to give up his body, he must observe the vow of silence and concentrate his mind on the Lord. But Parikshit gladly agreed to speak on this topic because what better engagement can be there for one than to glorify the Lord? So Parikshit prays for the mercy of Shukadev Goswami and Lord Achyuta, and he begins to speak. So now we are entering into the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Once upon a time, a group of very humble sages, they assembled in Prayag during the month of Magha. So Prayag is one of the best of the pilgrimage sites. They had taken bath there, and they were happily, after taking bath, they all gathered together and they happily sat before Lord Madhava, who is the presiding deity of that place. So they were all very, very satisfied and content in their hearts, and while they were sitting there in that holy place, seeing each other, their hearts were filled with joy and they were praising each other. You know, when Vaishnavas gather, this is a common thing. Vaishnavas love to praise other Vaishnavas. So these devotees, they were gathered there and they were just praising each other. They were saying, oh, you are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. And then the other person said, no, you are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. You are so dear to the Lord. You do such wonderful services. Like that, they were praising each other sitting there. Prayag is called as Tirthamurdhayana. That means the chief of the holy places because it is in the confluence of Ganga and Yamuna. So they assembled there at the time of Maghamasa. Maghamasa, or the month of Magha, it is considered very, very auspicious. It is around January, February. It is considered very auspicious. In the Padma Purana, Uttarakanda 126.8, Lord Dattatreya, an incarnation of the Lord, he says that the Supreme Lord Madhava, who is present, the presiding deity of Prayag, is not pleased by vows, charity, or austere penances, but he is pleased if one simply takes bath there in the confluence in the month of Magha. That's why devotees go there in the month of Magha and take bath in the confluence of Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati in the Prayag area, and they go and they worship Madhava, the presiding deity who is Madhava, Veni Madhava. If you go to Prayag, you can see the deity there. So all the devotees, they were feeling so fortunate to have assembled there in front of Lord Madhava in this holy place at this time. So all the devotees were there. They were praising each other with so much love. At that time, a first-class Brahmana arrived there in the holy site called as Dasha Ashwamedha Tirtha. So there are many ghats in Prayag. One of the most important places is Dasha Ashwamedha Tirtha. And it's actually very important in our sampradaya because Rupa Goswami received his instructions from Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dasha Ashwamedha Ghat. Remember this. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is there. So, there was a very nice high-class Brahmana who had come. He was fully absorbed in devotional service to the Lord. And in fact, he was a very important person. He was the spiritual leader of that region and he was endowed with all kinds of assets. He was accompanied with his family and his followers and his servants and disciples and everyone. So this generous Brahmana, he was very, very generous. He collected all the valuable items for the worship of the Lord First, he went to that place. He purified that large area on the ground, and he himself with his hands, he swiftly built a beautiful altar, smearing it with mud, and he covered it with a canopy. So you might have seen these yajnashalas that they construct, how nicely they construct it. So like that, this Brahmana himself, he created a beautiful altar. And this Brahmana, he was an acknowledged spiritual authority. He was very, very rich. He had a lot of money. He was very influential. But he was a surrendered Vaishnava. He had everything, but he was a surrendered Vaishnava. He used whatever he had only for Krishna's pleasure. This is the same Dashashwamedha Ghat that Srila Rupa Goswami was receiving instructions from Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can imagine how beautiful, how important that place was. So the Brahmana, he placed a golden asan on the altar and he placed his Shaligram Shila on that. And very happily, he started performing all the rituals and worship. First, he placed before the Lord food and clothes, and he put all the other offerings to the Lord. He worshipped the Lord in a very, very glorious way. And then he offered an arati, and he himself got up and he was dancing and he was singing and he was playing music for the pleasure of the Lord. So it was like a one-man show. Then after he offered his, worship to the Lord, he offered his homage to all the Brahmanas. He offered respect to all the people of all the ashramas, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasis, to everybody. He offered his respects to everybody and he honored the Vaishnavas who were absorbed in relishing the glories of the Lord. So he worshipped them, he offered them nice cloth and prasad from the deity. So after he finished worshipping the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, very respectfully, he also fed everyone else, including the outcasts, including the dogs, the jackals, the birds, the insects, everybody. Every single living entity there was respected and fed. So the Brahmana, he fed everyone without distinction. So it doesn't mean that he, the Brahmana and the animal are exactly on the same level. Yes, he respected the Brahmanas appropriately by worshipping them, and the animals also he treated with suitable respect. Just like how when we feed animals, like for example, we go to the dam and we are feeding a cow or we are feeding a dog, we just don't, rudely throw food at them or abuse them or hit them. We feed them with respect. But however, in the name of seeing everything as equal, we don't go and embrace a tiger in the name of humility and respect. We keep a safe distance, but we give respect to that animal. So similarly, everybody was respected and given importance and also given nice sumptuous prasadam to eat. So the Shudras and outcasts were also honored very nicely. So generally, Shudras and outcasts are considered as very fallen. And the poor and the hungry people, they are considered as very unfortunate. They are considered wretched. But the real consideration of a person's fallen or wretched condition is actually his lack of devotion to the Supreme Lord. So we must understand that actually who is really fallen is one who doesn't have devotion to the Lord. That is the person who is the most fallen. So all these, external things, they don't really matter. So the Brahmana who was, he was very compassionate. He was very trying to be equal to everyone. So after satisfying everyone nicely, the Brahmana sat there with his family and servants, and then he partook the nectarian prasadam of the Lord. After he partook the prasadam, he went in front of his Shaligram deity and he offered all the pious credits that he had earned by the sacrifice back to the deity with folded hands. So though in most sacrifices, we verbally say, Idam Krishnaya, Idam Na Mama, we say that. We say that every time we do a sacrifice. But still, that is verbal offering. This is not mine, this is for you, Krishna. But still, we maintain the ambition to enjoy the fruits of the outcome in a subtle way. But real pure devotion is to offer it back to the Lord in complete surrender only for the Lord's pleasure, only for the Lord's pleasure, without any hidden motive. So this leader of the Brahmana, he offered all the pious credits to the Lord, and he put his deity to rest and he got ready to return home. So at that time, Sri Narada had been watching this from a distance. He was seated among the sages who had gathered there, and he sprang up and he was so happy, and he went running to the Brahmana. He went to the Brahmana and he declared very happily again and again and again. He kept saying, he is the Supreme Lord Vishnu's most dearest devotee. He is the dearmost devotee of the Lord. He is the recipient of the highest mercy of the Lord. So like this, he started announcing whatever he realized very, very happily. And in fact, Narada also says why he feels so. He said, oh Brahmana, it is you who have received Lord Krishna's greatest favor. Because after all, you have so much wealth, you have so much prosperity, you have so much personal opulence in the form of all the paraphernalia required. You have wonderful associates, you have so many family members, you have so many servants. And more than everything else, you have so much generosity. In the best of the holy places, we are seeing that you have used up all these opulences and assets exclusively to establish pure religion. What is pure religion? Pure religion is pure devotional service to the Lord. So all these apparent material assets, all these are put together for proper use. The Brahmana did not employ it for his own selfish enjoyment. The Brahmana was opulent as a byproduct of devotional service. It was by the mercy of the Lord that he was opulent. And he was very, very happy to put them to transcendental use. So this is what Narada saw in the Brahmana. This is the quality that Narada saw in the Brahmana. In spite of so many things, he just wants to please the Lord. Now, we will see how the Brahmana feels about this. Actually, this is a pattern throughout this part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Narada will glorify a devotee for possessing something, and that devotee will refute the statement of Narada and say that he is actually really fallen and he really has no devotion. He has nothing. In fact, he is in such a fallen condition that he has no mercy of the Lord. And then the devotee will say, he will point out to another great devotee who has all the qualities. So this first devotee, he will not say that, oh, that person is a better devotee than me. He will say, actually, I don't have any qualification. I don't have any mercy. I have zero mercy. I am so fallen. So, and this is said with great humility. It is not something that he is just trying to attract attention. He says it with great humility. And Narada, in spite of seeing so many devotees disagree with him, it's the same pattern. Everyone will say, I am very fallen, but you should go to some other devotee, he is so great. This is a pattern you will see throughout in the scripture. But Narada faces this again and again and again. But Narada, in spite of seeing all these devotees disagreeing with him and his statements, he humbly accepts their statement without being offended, and he moves on in his journey to find the next devotee who is actually the greatest recipient. So the Brahmana says, I am so fallen. How much charity can I give? What opulence do I have? How have I ever reciprocated with the Lord in devotional service? But in the southern country, in Dakshina Deshe, there is a great king. He has many temples of gods and demigods. He is the true recipient of the Lord's mercy. Wandering pilgrims, mendicants, visitors, all of them come to his kingdom from all directions. And they are all fed Krishna Prasadam sumptuously. Anyone who comes there is fed very nicely. Krishna Prasadam is freely available in his kingdom for everyone. Near his big palace, there's a very beautiful temple for the Supreme Lord. And the Lord there, in his form of Archavigraha, is so potent, he's so beautiful, he's so attractive, that the citizens almost forget that he's a non-moving deity. They think he's real. So you can see the potency of the kingdom there. In the temple, the worship was never stale and ritualistic. Each moment, there is a new offering, there is a new performance, there is a new worship to the Lord. So he was saying like this. A classic example of this, I was reminded of Srirangam. Because also here it says Dakshina Deshe. I was just reminded of Srirangam because in Srirangam, there are 365 days in a year, and there are 360 Utsavas that are seen each and every day. There is a new festival there. The Utsav deities, the small deities, are taken and they witness a new festival every day. So this is what the Brahmana is saying here. In South, there is one kingdom. He's not saying it's Srirangam. I'm just telling you that even in Srirangam, the same thing is followed to this day. So every day, there is a new festival. And if one wants to attend these festivities in Srirangam, they actually have to live there at least a minimum of 1 year if you have to see all the festivities. Okay? So similarly, similarly, this Brahmana is saying, in this kingdom, there are so many people who come and reside permanently there in the kingdom in order to take darshan of this lotus-eyed Lord, and they taste all the special remnants of the Lord. So he gave his kingdom, actually to the Brahmanas and the demigods, and he considers himself only as a simple caretaker of that kingdom. Because this king was so pious, he's so great, the earth yields crops without being tilled, rains fall enough for the people's comfort without disrupting their routine, which means it used to rain in the night. The quantity of the rains were so perfect. There were no floods and all that. The rains would be perfect enough for the crops to grow, and it would not disturb the people because if they had, you know, their daily routine to be done in the daytime, it wouldn't disturb them. It would rain in the night. So it was so perfect. Whatever food or clothing one desired, that was easily available in the kingdom. Just like how children, they really love their parents, and at the same time, they obey their parents. Similarly, the citizens, they respected the king and also obeyed the king's orders. They were so inspired that they wanted to follow in the footsteps of their king. So he was very, very prideless. The king was very prideless, and he worshipped the Lord like a menial servant. It is very difficult for a great king like him with so much opulence to actually be prideless. He was Achyuta Priya. Achyuta Priya means one who becomes very dear to the Lord is called as Achyuta Priya. So he was very fond of the Lord also. So Achyuta Priya can mean two things. One is he is very fond of the Lord, and the Lord is also very fond of him. So here Sanatan Goswami calls him Achyuta Priya. He was a Vaishnava. And he always saw to it that the Lord was pleased. He himself went and danced and sang in front of the Lord. He performed menial services for the pleasure of the Lord. He personally took care of various arrangements for the personal worship of the Lord. He, his family members, his servants, everybody was very happily engaged in the service of the Lord. So the Prayag Brahmana said that this king, he has so many good qualities. He's so rich. He has everything. But still, in spite of that, he's much more generous and he's got much more qualities. How can I count or describe even be aware of the million qualities that he has? So the Prayag Brahmana felt himself not to have any qualifications. He teaches us how we must be in front of the Lord and his devotees. The humility we must imbibe is what the Prayag Brahmana is actually talking about. But at the same time, the Brahmana was so eager to trace the qualities of the great king. He was not at all envious. He did not think, oh, this king, you know, he has so much opulences. He's such a big king. So obviously he has opulences. He's just using his opulences in the name of power to maintain good worship. So what's the big deal? He could have thought like that. No, that was not the mood. The Prayag Brahman saw everything as a great qualification. The king, he said, that king is actually the recipient of Lord's mercy because the Lord has provided him with everything, and what makes him greater is that he uses it so beautifully in the service of the Lord. And he gives appropriate reasons of how the king is so very qualified, and he, in fact, is the true recipient of the Lord's mercy. In fact, imagine, just think about this. The Prayag Brahmana, he was a Brahmana, right? So, he, with a great faith, he was appreciating a Kshatriya. It just shows that he was not envious. He had freedom from caste prejudice. And bhakti is for everyone. Bhakti means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had this understanding. For a Brahmana, actually, it is a natural duty. What is the duty of a Brahmana? Taking care of the deity, performing worship. He was doing his natural duty. But the king was a Kshatriya. This king, who was a Kshatriya, was so great, he was engaged in deep devotion. Of course, he is naturally very wealthy. But to use it in Krishna's service, that is great. The Brahmana, what could he do? He performed a one-man festival. He fed the people in Prayag. That's the maximum he could do. But the Kshatriya, he served the entire kingdom without pride and in the perfect consciousness. So this conversation establishes how we must realize our insignificant position. We are only one among the millions of jivas, and surely for the Lord, everyone is important. But we must understand that there are a million qualities in others which endears them, you know, more to the Lord. That is, the Lord is, they are more dear to the Lord. So then Narada, he started proceeding towards the southern kingdom in search of the king. We have to stop here. I'm already late. So questions, comments, realizations, please.
Hare Krishna Mataji, then was pranam, all blessed Srila Prabhupada, all blessed Guru Maharaj. My only one comment is, you go on talking. This is such a wonderful class, Mataji. Very nice. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Who's this Mataji? Is this Indu?
Sitapriti Mataji.
Sitapriti Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your association. Thank you, Mataji. Thanks for everything. Thank you.
Thank you again for a wonderful transportation to the spiritual kingdom. One point that I really, really liked was when you were discussing that the king had all these opulences, and of course he could have just directed people to do the certain services or duties or whatever. But he actually danced in front of the deities and sang in front of the deities himself. So that just, it just made it much more sweeter. We can understand his position,
yeah.
You know, his love for doing that. And I was also thinking, when you were, I joined late. You chanted the verse before, and now, and then did the. Yeah, I'm sorry, chanted the Mangalacharan?
No, I didn't chant the... I said the meaning of the Mangalacharan. I didn't chant the... Yeah, only one or two phrases I said. Yeah.
I didn't chant it
as in Sanskrit, yeah.
Okay. So I was just curious. I joined late. I just joined after you started doing the Pranamantra, so I wasn't sure. Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you again. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasi Mataji. Very, very wonderful, nice recitation.
Thank you, Kamadiki Mataji. Thanks for your blessings. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. I didn't join the first one. This is the one I joined today. You give a recap also of that very beautifully, Mataji. You took us to Vrindavan. You said very nice pastimes. Very, very nice, Mataji. Really so sweet class, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vinaya Mataji. Thank you for coming on the call. Thanks, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Please accept my Dhanavad Pranam. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai, Guru Maharaj ki Jai. What an excellent class, Mataji. So very nectarian, Mataji. This is the first time I'm hearing Srimad Nabhrat Bhavatamritam, and it's so nice, Mataji. I was so desperate when you started last time, and exactly I was thinking yesterday when Mataji will start the class. So nice. And one point I like, Mataji, where you told that we should not tame all the animals in the same way, like we cannot tame lion or tiger as with humility. That is so nice, Mataji. It is so nice and intelligent to be with what kind of animals we have to behave. And in the same way, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Supriya Mataji, and all glories to Gopi Paranabana Prabhu for giving the contents of the book. Yeah. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai, Guru Maharaj ki Jai. Thank you so much, Mataji. You have studied like very deeply, Mataji. It's like for me, you know, getting understanding is also very difficult. So, Mataji, this Brihat Bhagavatamrita, So how like Bhagavatam started with the Parikshit Maharaj, because he got the snake will bite him in 7 days. So where the Bhagavatamrita started, Mataji, Bhagavatamrita?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Shamagari Mataji. So what happens is Parikshit, he was cursed to die in 7 days, and of course he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. After he finished that, the Bhagavatam ends where he goes and he sits down and he waits for the snake to bite him, and then he finishes his pastimes, Parikshit. So this is discussed. Now where the Brihat Bhagavatam Jata comes in, then he is about to die just before the last few minutes, you can say, before he's sitting there waiting for the snake to come. At that time, his mother comes running to him because Uttara feels, her son is going to die and she's overwhelmed with grief. But at the same time, she also has this intense desire to know what Shukadev Goswami has actually told to Parikshit. So she doesn't have 7 days to hear the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And she goes and asks him, just give me the essence, the nectar of the Bhagavatam, the exact, the core message of the Bhagavatam. So that's when Uttara hears the Brihat Bhagavatamrita from Parikshit. Now, the same conversation was again recorded and, relayed by Jaimini to Janamejaya. Janamejaya is the son of Parikshit, right? So when Parikshit was doing that Sarpayajna, at that time we know that Vaishampayana came and spoke the Mahabharata. But it is also, Vaishampayana also says, there are other versions as well. The same Janamejaya had also heard another version of Mahabharata from Jaimini, Rishi Jaimini. So this Jaimini Rishi, he actually recounts the pastime of Uttara and Parikshit. He says, I will tell you what happened with your father and your grandmother. And he tells that your grandmother heard of this from Parikshit. I will tell you the story. And then he tells the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Okay? So now Janamejaya has received Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Then there is a break. Sanatan Goswami comes in. So Sanatan Goswami comes. And then by the inspiration of the Lord from within and by the inspiration of Lord Madan Mohan, Madan Mohan actually recites this for him. He writes down the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which we are discussing. Is this okay, Mataji?
Thank you, Mataji. Very nice explanation. Thank you so much.
So this is what actually, in today's class we didn't do it in detail, the background, because we had done it in the previous class. I just skimmed through the background. But
sorry, I was not there.
No problem. No, that's why, it's better to recap actually. Thank you, Mataji, for the question. Now I think it will make sense for everyone who couldn't attend the previous session. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandat Pranam, all glory to Krishna, Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, all of your SSS and another devotee. I can realize little bit Brihat Bhagavata Amrita, Mataji. Thank you so much for your SSS.
Thank you so much, Anjana Gopika, Mataji, for your association.
Is there any question or comment for Mataji? Otherwise, we can end the call. Yeah, we can end the call now. And